Three, two, one.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Anyone Can Run podcast. The podcast for psychomaniac fitness fiends just kicking off their journey towards living a healthy and fit lifestyle. Doesn't matter if you're trying to crush your first race or if you're just looking to progress on the race of life, this is the podcast for you. I am your host, True Bros, aka Gabe, aka the hotshot gamer who is not looking forward to swirling mouthwash and then drinking orange juice, and I am an NCCA certified personal trainer, gamer, and sneakerhead who specializes in helping clients reach their health and fitness goals. This podcast is a blend of motivational words, a chronicle of my personal journey on the road to Gainesville, some poor attempts at humor, but above all, it's the place where we cover cultivating the marathon mindset and everything else you need to know to help you start your personal fitness journey on the right foot. Before we dive into today's conversation, I have an ask, dear listener, and it's the same ask I posed before our last few discussions. It's also the reason I will soon be not only swirling mouthwash and then drinking a tall glass of OJ, but I'm also going to consume that confounded Da Bomb hot sauce. Thanks to you psychomaniacs, as of today, May 3rd at 4:38 p.m. Central Time, when I'm recording this, because again, we got a little delayed due to some technical issues, we have now raised $1,000 for the children of St. Jude, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your times and for your contribution. But we're not done yet. Nah. I create content because I want to encourage the young gamers of the world to live a healthy and fit lifestyle. It's not a secret. I say it all the time. However, I also do our humble podcast here and create YouTube videos because I have one goal. I want to get an insane number of followers. I want to become synonymous with podcasting and YouTube and Twitch for one reason. The only reason I want to be known as the king of content throughout the world. For the past 6 years, every April and May, my household participates in St. Jude Play Live, which is all about raising money for the children of St. Jude via Hotshot Gaming. My first full-time job was at a place helping cancer patients get access to resources they need. And never once did I need to speak to the families of children going through treatment because of St. Jude. Because of this, this cause is something very near and dear to my heart. And I want to get as popular as possible so every year we can do some good and to help those who truly need it. I don't put ads in my content or anything like that because my goal isn't to get paid. It's to get B-I-G. Now, if you're able to contribute, there's a link to our fundraiser in the description of this episode. And it doesn't matter if it's $1 or $10,000. No amount is too small or too big, and it's very much appreciated. Now, let's dive into today's topic of discussion. Needless to say, the title of today's conversation is absolutely clickbait motivated. But hey, when you're trying to raise money for the patients of St. Jude and their families, while simultaneously attempting to have your podcast become the most popular on planet Earth, sometimes you've got to dip your toes into the clickbait waters. Just take a look at the beautiful thumbnails my wife has so graciously created for each of my most recent YouTube videos. I guarantee you're going to want to watch every single one to the end and give it a thumbs up and all that good stuff. Anyways, our conversations here at Anyone Can Run are focused on building, fortifying, and maintaining our personal marathon mentality. Whether or not you like getting out and pounding the pavement, I'd say it's immaterial for the purposes of a marathon mindset because we all need to be at a place where we're mentally prepared and able to take on any challenges which come our way. During many past conversations, I've espoused my personal philosophy that it's in our best interest as healthy and fit people to surround ourselves with other like-minded individuals who shoot out only positive ideas and radiate positivity and all that good stuff which does wonders for our mindset and our external atmosphere. However, while our surroundings, our atmosphere, our circumstances, while all of these are of the utmost importance, everything starts from within. The reason I say vegan is a dirty word is because I don't like the way that word hits my ears. There are connotations that I've constructed in my mind over the years with the word vegan, which, whether they have any factual validity to them or not, they have framed that word in a negative light in my mind. There's no point diving into what those negative connotations are because, one, we're not about negativity. Two, those connotations aren't doing anything beneficial for my mentality. And three, they aren't going to bolster your psychomaniac mindset, dear listener. But because I don't like that word, I don't like the word vegan, I always opt to say plant-based because of how it sounds in my head. I bring this up not to illustrate my personal idiosyncrasies, although I guess we are technically doing that, but to demonstrate the power of language. As we just covered, positive reinforcement and focus on forward progress, all of these things begin from within. If you're using negative language in your own head to discuss something as integral to not just your health and fitness journey, but your life in general. So we're talking about, you know, your eating habits, your body image. All the external positivity in the world isn't going to do you any favors. Today's conversation is focused on something we've touched on in nearly every discussion we've had to date. The power of language. Specifically, as it relates to your internal dialogue. We're going to discuss the significance of maintaining positivity and how we can extend that to have control over our perspective, how to keep yourself goal-oriented, the benefits of positive mental reinforcement, and how to connect ourselves physically with positive language and thoughts. The reason we've shifted the primary focus of Anyone Can Run to be more about kickstarting a personal health and fitness journey and how to construct one's personal marathon mentality is because I vehemently believe mental wellness and strength is something which does not get discussed enough in the world of health and fitness. I hesitate to use the term mental health because while I absolutely believe mental health is something which gets trivialized all too often, I'm certainly not a medical professional. And I don't want any of our conversations to be misconstrued as medical advice. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I'm no doctor. I'm not a medical professional. I'm a hotshot gamer and a certified personal trainer who wants to give you the tools to begin your journey on the road to Gainesville. I reiterate this, one, because you guys know a big pet peeve of mine is people speaking out of turn when they don't necessarily have credentials to back them up. But also because any young gamer who has ever swung by the Twitch gym will tell you, just like any client I've ever worked with will tell you, that I don't allow negativity to be around me. This means I certainly don't want negativity around my recreational or professional environments. I know this is going to be a bit of a tangent, but bear with me. When I was younger, like, let's say middle school through college or just out of college, I was really into Oscar bait films. I watched a lot of Japanese cinema. I watched super dramatic shows. We're talking House, Rescue Me, the whole deal. I loved drama. I loved all of that kind of stuff. I loved those emotional journeys. Now, this is all just entertainment, and I never paid much mind to it, but I'd couple these heavy-hearted, dramatic, long forms of entertainment, which I immersed myself into regularly, with emo music because, hey, Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco are the best bands ever. Not a big deal by any means, and I don't want to get into the whole nature versus nurture thing or any junk like that, nor am I trying to say that watching sad stuff makes you sad, because I think exposure to various forms of entertainment with a wide range of topics helps not only your appreciation for the art form, but also expand your perspective. I say this because as I began my career in the workforce and began dealing with things like imposter syndrome, did I say that correctly? The imposter, a syndrome of being an imposter, whatever. I feel like I'm getting off topic here. But I was dealing with things like imposter syndrome and anxiety and a lack of confidence, you know, all that kind of stuff. In hindsight, my content predilections changed pretty significantly. I began to favor lighthearted fare like sitcoms, and although I still occasionally like seeing Oscar bait films, like we just watched Judas and the Black Messiah, I want to say 2-3 weeks ago, fantastic, and I'm glad it won awards because it deserved it. I now prefer short form content, which I don't have to mentally invest in too much. I've come to realize that it wasn't so much the content itself that was wearing me down, for lack of a better term, but it was the mental investment of having my focus on watching films and television series, which went on for series at a time. Throughout the workday, I'm obviously focusing on something for the bulk of my day. So once I've turned off the work laptop, I go into quote-unquote maintaining positivity mode, which for me typically means working on content, working out if I didn't do it earlier in the day, or if I'm too drained, because we all have those days where you're just mentally spent, I consume content which helps me mentally relax, like sitcoms like The Goldbergs, or YouTube videos like those produced by Mr. Beast or Dr. Disrespect. I opt for lighthearted and funny stuff when I'm watching content, which is why whenever I'm in the Twitch gym, I want my content to be positive. I want to create something that I would consume, and I like lighthearted and funny fare. This may sound like a bit of a stretch, but I view negativity as a virus which permeates the atmosphere around you. And boy, is it a big and powerful one. It's like a dark storm cloud. We've all heard the term downer, and I think we're all familiar with what that means. But if you're not, I mean, for example, let's say you're out with a group of friends. Everyone's joking and laughing and having a good time. And, you know, somebody just makes an offhand remark, which puts a little damper on the mood. I'm not trying to say there aren't ways to negate this or anything like that. But to me, that illustrates the power of negativity to completely shift the tone of an environment if it's allowed to. Maybe this is going to sound real light side versus dark side force type stuff, which I guess is appropriate considering tomorrow is May the 4th. But I absolutely believe if you allow yourself to dwell in a negative place, especially a negative headspace, it's very easy to allow that to have an adverse impact on your mental state. So I guess when I say dwell in a negative place, it's not necessarily a negative headspace, but more a negative environment or a negative atmosphere. This isn't to say that you can't bounce back or that you cannot cope with that or deal with it or anything like that. But especially when we're in the beginning stages of our health and fitness journey, it's very easy to allow ourselves to get dejected. Imagine if when one of my clients came to me and said, I can't do this or I can't get this right. If I was just like, you're probably right. Instead of saying, hey, it's okay, we're going to keep going until we no longer get this wrong. You know, instead of providing words of encouragement and positivity. Literally every client I've ever worked with has said something like that. And let's be real. We've all thought something like that at one point or another where we're just frustrated and we're just spent. We just want to throw our hands up in frustration. When I was in the gym with someone as a trainer, they had me physically right next to them to help them maintain focus and positivity. But if you psychomaniac, are out pounding the pavement on your own, you don't necessarily have someone physically there to help with that process. I mean, if you're listening to Anyone Can Run in your AirPods or your earbuds while you're running, then I guess you do, but you get what I'm saying. I've relayed the story of my first marathon many times during our past conversations, but making the decision to actually complete that race was not one I made lightly. If you want to hear the whole context and conversation, you can pop back in the archives. But if I had not surrounded myself with positivity during the training cycle, especially because of where I was mentally at the time, I'm not sure I would have completed that race. Surrounding yourself with positivity, whether that be scrolling only funny accounts or whatever on social media, or conversing only with people who use positive language, or consuming lighthearted shows and videos, is something that I absolutely believe in for myself. One client that I worked with a couple years back had gone to the gym regularly for years, but they struggled with consistency and seeing results. I remember them telling me something to the effect of, yeah, man, I have a big group of friends and we always go to the gym. And they had been doing that for, I want to say, like 8 or 9 months at that point. So I was pretty dang puzzled when I heard they weren't progressing, because I knew from the moment we started working out, they knew what they were doing in the gym. They were focused. They wrote everything down in a notebook like I do. So it kind of caught me off guard to hear like, okay, why aren't you progressing, you know? So this client and I went to the gym one time, and I remember accompanying them, and I know it was a Saturday night lifting session, but I immediately saw where the issue stemmed from when I went with them. The group of, let's call them compatriots, that they always worked out with, were all about that toxic masculinity, meaning they were pretty much just breaking my client down. Now, I'm all for busting chops, don't get me wrong. You hear me do it all the time in the Twitch gym, especially when I'm playing with my boy Brave or my boy Dandy. But you've got to make it clear that that's all a joke, or at the very least, build your friends back up, which is why I always point out that Brave and Dandy are the actual talent when it comes to our domination in Apex, and I'm pretty much just the hype man. This group certainly did not do that. And not only were they unsupportive, they were inconsistent. They were unmotivated with their workouts, and really, they didn't know the first thing they were doing in the gym. It was just like a bunch of bros who would go on a Saturday night as a social call or what have you. Once I saw this, obviously, I pulled my client, and I walked them through a workout. And then I encouraged them, because I knew this client really enjoyed working out in group sessions, I encouraged them to go work out with another client of mine who was always in a big group. It was a group of some of their friends, some of my former clients, you know, just a big group. And when they finally took me up on that offer, which I want to say was 2 or 3 weeks after that, they could not believe the difference that atmosphere had on their workout. My client felt productive, accomplished, and they left that group session feeling buoyant and really ready for the next one. They couldn't wait to work out. Not every person benefits from group activity, so that's not the primary takeaway. What I want to illustrate is the concept of maintaining positivity goes hand in hand with us maintaining control, especially of our mental state. Now, obviously, there are many things in our lives which we don't have control over. And if you heard me say maintaining control, and your gut reaction was to say, well, I don't have control over this or X or Y, then believe me when I say that response literally illustrates the issue. We as human beings don't have control over many things. However, the one thing we absolutely do is our outlook or our perspective. If your primary goal is to improve your marathon mentality, and you are acutely familiar with your preferred learning style, and you know you benefit from being in a group, what good is it going to do to go join a workout class where everyone's just negative and negativity is just controlling the conversation and the entire atmosphere? What benefit does surrounding yourself with people who continually tell you you can't do something when you're trying to make a fundamental life change? I mean, what does that do for you? The answer is a big fat zero. Because if we struggle to maintain positivity, we're going to struggle to maintain control over our perspective, which in my eyes creates sort of a cycle of struggle. For me, maintaining control of my perspective consists of many things. The primary of which is doing things which reinforce my frame of mind, things that make me happy and help me relieve mental stress. This comes in the form of working on content, although I'll tell you right now, it's about 90 degrees Fahrenheit in Texas, and as I'm sitting in the closet and recording this, it's now 5 p.m. on May 3rd, and I am sweating bullets, but hey, making content helps me clear my head, as does working out and consuming only lighthearted fare like Godzilla vs. Kong, which was amazing, following only positive social media accounts and personalities, so whenever I look at my feed, it's a lot of dogs, a lot of sneakers, and a lot of video game highlights. But I also only have positive conversations both in my content, in the workplace, and in social situations. But perhaps the most important thing that allows me to help control my perspective is engaging in what I call positive reinforcement / replacement. For the longest time, when I'd struggle with anything, a video game, a work or a school problem, trying to figure out how to do something, whatever, I'd get exacerbated if I wasn't progressing quickly, I'd curse, and then I'd move on to something else. truth be told, I still do this to an extent. However, the frustration and the desire to move on to another task has been replaced with exploring alternatives. I remember vividly many times in my life, training for my first race, changing a tire for the first time, where I encountered moments of self-doubt so intense and the feelings of frustration were so overwhelming, I just thought, I can't do this. Many times in my life, I felt that frustration bubble up and I'd feel myself get hot and break out in a sweat under my collar. Or even I just have like a wave of exhaustion hit me because I was so frustrated and couldn't progress on whatever the task at hand was. However, this has not occurred in quite some time because I've become cognizant of the impact my mental dialogue has on both my well-being and really my basic brain functions. For me, when those negative thoughts begin to creep up now, I find myself immediately going to exploring alternatives. If I have a list of tasks and I'm stuck on one specifically, I'll reevaluate the approximate time to completion for the others and leave the time-consuming one I'm stuck on for the end, as I find some time away can help with perspective, or at the very least, helps me clear my head. If I'm doing a long run and I didn't hydrate or fuel appropriately in the days leading up to it, and I find myself out of energy and miles from my car or my home. Really, even like 18 months ago, if I had found myself in that situation, I would have asked my wife to pick me up, even if I wasn't dealing with a crippling injury. Now, if I'm out of gas, and I can at the very least keep walking without, you know, risk to my physical well-being, I put on a podcast or an audiobook. I focus on that while simultaneously reflecting on the errors I made over the past 72 hours so I don't run into a similar issue down the line. Speaking of, for the first time in, I really don't know. I want to say a year. I'd pull up my phone, but I don't want it to start vibrating and blowing up. But yesterday, Sunday, May 2nd, I walked, and I say it's a walk, but it's really like 5 minutes alternating between a comfortable walking pace and 5 minutes at a light jog of 10 miles. And I had remember saying in a past conversation that the entire mental prospect of doing high mileage wasn't something that appealed to me anymore. And I was kind of struggling to complete anything over 6 miles because it just seemed like a big deal, right? You know what I mean? When something's just like a deal or an entire ordeal, it's like frustrating. But I've been really listening to audiobooks. For the record, I just finished Star Wars Heir to the Empire, which was the first Thrawn book, or the first book to feature the character of Grand Admiral Thrawn. But now having this book, or having books to focus on, which, you know, 2 years ago I would have been like, I don't read, right? I don't do that. But now I'm listening to audiobooks, and it's really helping me progress in a way I want to physically, which is fantastic. This is a little bit off topic, but I'm hoping that it's clear by the few real world examples I laid out that actually, you know what? This transitions to another area of focus for today's conversation, which is ensuring our minds are solution or goal oriented or forward thinking. If you're thinking your mind moves like a Tron bike, and within 30 seconds, you've jumped between 50 different topics, like I did just here, believe me when I say you're not alone. Everyone does it. When I lay down at night, my mind is racing between 1,000 different subjects. However, to keep my mood or my thoughts from shifting towards something negative like work, right? And work isn't bad, but it's just, it's work. So I don't necessarily want to think about work, you know? If I find myself drifting towards something negative or something work-oriented, I shift my focus to something like the next challenge I want to attempt on stream, the next conversation I want to have here, the next YouTube video that I want to work on. You get the idea. Especially when it comes to those moments where frustration and anxiety feels as if it's overwhelming, I do my best to ensure when I'm stuck, I switch my focus from the exact point or problem I'm stuck on to multiple different possibilities. Like we discussed, when I find myself worn out on a run and just wanting it to be over as quickly as possible, I listen to content and focus on different things I could have done to improve my chances at success. When it comes to work specifically, if I'm stuck on one task, I'll go and knock out six others before coming back. For those moments where I find myself out of ideas for conversations here, because that's absolutely another potential point of frustration for me, I'll make a list of different videos I want to do on YouTube, or posts I want to compose over at TrueBros.com, or games I want to play on stream. I know this is probably going to sound like a bit of a stretch, but I believe, genuinely, that people are inherently optimistic. We want to try new things. We want to have fun. We want to be excited. But things like negativity and negative reinforcement can cause us to become jaded and perhaps lose that sense of optimism or wonder, for lack of a better term. To combat this, whenever I find myself stuck or frustrated, I find it beneficial to essentially open up my perspective to numerous possibilities. This is why I examine things like hydration, nutrition, my clothes, the weather, and all that when I'm reflecting on why a run went not quite as good as it could have. It's why when I'm stuck on a work problem, I'll work on multiple different things to occupy my mind and hopefully obtain some sort of unexpected perspective. I have found that expanding my focus, my horizons, whatever you want to call it, helps me maintain my mindset of being forward-thinking and goal-oriented. Here's a bit of an anecdote. I remember the very first time I was doing minor maintenance to my car. We're talking swapping out the windshield wipers, the air filter, the cabin air filter, checking the pressure in each tire, just basic stuff that could be taken care of in a few minutes by someone with no automotive training with the aid of YouTube. I remember getting stuck on the cabin filter because of where it was wedged on the passenger side, and I was at it for probably over an hour, and I was sweaty and frustrated and in a pretty foul mood. Even when I got it completed, I didn't feel accomplished. I just felt like I had wasted all that time, even though I'd reached the goal I was chasing. This is an example of how my internal dialogue had an adverse impact on my mental state. I allowed frustration to taint my perspective. So even when I accomplished the goal I'd set out to reach, I didn't feel satisfied, just mad. The power of the language of my internal dialogue, specifically the negative diction I was using in my head, calling the car stupid, myself stupid, the air filter stupid, and for the record, in case you couldn't have guessed by now, I was using way more colorful language than I am here, all of these things really soured my mood. Now, if I was in that same situation, I'd probably start with the cabin filter, and if I got stuck after 10 or 15 minutes, and I feel like I'm making no discernible progress, I'd go knock out the other tasks. I'd Google and YouTube, and then make sure that I'm doing everything correctly at the end. This way, I'm checking boxes off my to-do list. And while there's still a fairly good chance I'd still use colorful language out loud, there's no way I'd beat myself up over it. I'd probably be more laughing in my head, even though I'm verbally cursing out whatever's plaguing me. To an onlooker, they probably wouldn't see any difference between the two. They'd see a dude struggling to work on his stuff and cursing, but in my head, I know the context of both situations could not be more different. In one, I'm joking and having completed more of my goals, and most importantly, have used only positive language in my head, which in turn has done wonders for my mental state. By using only positive language with myself, I'm able to maintain control over my perspective. Even when it comes to anxiety-inducing circumstances or situations, I mentally go to where the opportunities are, as evaluating options and possibilities are where I personally am able to take a step back and clear my head. Perhaps you don't derive the same utility I do from making mental lists or options, and you find that approach to be overwhelming. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's good that you're cognizant of that particular aspect of your personality, but I recommend that you find out what you find mentally stimulating. If the greatest physical tool we as healthy and fit individuals can learn is how to listen to our bodies. The most beneficial mental skill we can develop from cultivating our personal marathon mentalities is self-awareness, which in turn leads to self-actualization. If we are aware of how our mind operates, what our predilections are to learning, how we approach new problems and deal with adversity, this enables us to progress on our health and fitness journeys. Years ago, I wasn't aware of what I found intellectually stimulating or what I derive utility from, what makes me feel accomplished, all that type of stuff. Essentially, I wasn't aware of how my mind operated. And while that didn't prevent me from reaching specific goals I had in mind, it certainly didn't help. Now every action I take is in service of my mental state. And the number one thing I struggled with, and conversely saw my clients struggle with as well, was underestimating the power of language, specifically as it relates to our internal dialogue. I know we've jumped around quite a bit thus far, especially with our primary points of focus during today's conversation, but if we're using negative language and surrounding ourselves with only negative reinforcement, it's very difficult to maintain control over our perspective, which in turn means it's hard to maintain positivity, which makes being goal-oriented, I'd reckon next to impossible. This is why, especially in my own head, I'm constantly looking for alternative things to focus on, new angles to approach old problems from, and new topics to occupy my mind. I view mental replacement, quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, to be something which can be accomplished quickly and accessibly, as opposed to positive reinforcement when it's just me, myself, and I. However, this is an approach and method it took me a long time to realize works for me, and it only does because I'm acutely aware of my personality and predilections. While our humble corner of the internet is primarily focused on our marathon mentality, progressing on our health and fitness journeys also consists of maintaining our physical well-being. Because of this, it's important to connect how you're physically feeling with your frame of mind, which I believe is done primarily through your inner dialogue. Pretty sure I've mentioned this at some point in one of our previous conversations, but with the exception of checking the mail and taking the trash out, whenever I leave the house, other than when I'm working out, I have to do my hair and put on jeans and sneakers and a t-shirt. Nothing fancy. I do look pretty dang good, especially with those fly kicks, but I can't stand feeling disheveled. One of my favorite quotes is from primetime Deion Sanders, and it goes, "If you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. And if you play good, they pay good." Now, I'm sure not everyone needs to feel put together to help their frame of mind, but I absolutely do, and I'm aware of this fact. Additionally, I'd argue, even if you think it doesn't help your marathon mindset to get ready for the day and get dressed and do your hair, especially as many of us have been social distancing for more than a year at this point, at least in the US, I think you should at least give it a try. Because again, it doesn't take too long, it can't hurt, and there's really no potential drawback, only upside. I know I'm a lazy brain. I prioritize convenience over everything else. But the benefit that I get from my state of mind for when I shower and shave and do my hair, right? This is a 20-minute thing. It doesn't take that long, but it makes me feel way better than if I just got out of bed and put on sweatpants. Not everybody's like that, and that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is a quirk of my personality that I'm aware of. And you may or may not have something similar if you have never tried it. So I say at the very least, come on, it doesn't take that long. You're going to look good. You might want to take a selfie or two. Nothing wrong with that. To me, to get back on topic, this is an oft overlooked step in connecting our bodies with a positive frame of mind, especially when it comes to our mental state. The whole is absolutely greater than the sum of our parts. Doesn't matter how strong you're feeling mentally, if you're physically worn out or you're ill, right, and you're drained, it's going to impact your mindset, as is the opposite scenario if you're physically feeling great but you're just done mentally. Because of this, the same way we surround ourselves with positivity and only use positive language, and we stay focused on the task at hand while being goal-oriented, we need to do the same for our physical bodies. This means engaging in exercise regularly, being hydrated out of our minds, remaining cognizant of what we're ingesting because, hey, your body's your temple and how you feel is going to dictate how you feel, being aware of how you're feeling while we're discussing it, and don't forget this, getting enough sleep. When it comes to discussions around health and fitness, y'all know by now, I like to emphasize the mental component because I feel that this is pretty often overlooked. However, at the end of the day, we're all trying to progress on the road to Gainesville, which means we need to take care of our bodies. While I can confidently report that my mindset hasn't really slipped at all over the past year or so, I can readily admit there have been a few times where I've made a physical mistake which has an adverse impact on my state of mind. For example, it was probably 3 weeks ago, I decided to have some cheese and meat and all the goodness of a charcuterie board despite being 1000% lactose intolerant, and at the time, I want to say I had been plant-based for 8 months or so. I haven't been plant-based for the past couple weeks, and that's a whole story. We can talk about that another time, but while I didn't feel atrocious the next day, right, the day after my meat and cheese debacle, I wasn't brimming with energy, and I felt pretty dang sluggish. This meant I couldn't work out, and as a result, I didn't stick to the routine or the workout plan that I'm accustomed to. Granted, I wasn't beating myself up about the situation like I may have a few years ago, but I didn't get to do what I wanted mentally or physically because of a physical decision I made, if that makes sense. We're all beings with a mental state and a body to take care of, and these two aspects of us are obviously inextricably intertwined. Even if you think a decision you make from a physical standpoint won't impact your frame of mind, I mean, think about that example I just laid out for you. We're talking about mindsets. All I did was have meat and cheese and some crackers. But, you know, everything rolls downhill, to paraphrase a popular idiom, and you just want to be cognizant that the physical decisions you make help benefit your marathon mentality and vice versa. If I had been abusing myself physically, it would undoubtedly impact me mentally because, hey, when you're in pain, when you're in physical pain, it jacks with your frame of mind and vice versa, right? If you're mentally spent, it has an impact on your physical well-being. I know we sort of glossed over the physical component during our conversation thus far. But I think, or actually, think about for a minute, if you'd repeatedly told yourself via your inner dialogue, you can't do something physically. You want to go work out, right? But you're like, I can't do that mileage. I can't run. I can't do 3 miles. That's crazy. No, right? Like you're just no, over and over in your head. Well, when the time comes around to work out, you aren't going to feel physically amped. You're not going to feel ready to go. And there's a pretty good chance you're going to feel tentative or apprehensive and worn out when it's actually time to go run. This is why the power of language should not be underestimated as it relates to our health and fitness journey. If you stay positive, you're going to feel physically good. If you physically feel good, you're ready to take on your goals. And if you take on your goals, you're going to progress on your journey on the road to Gainesville. I appreciate you spending some time with me today, and I hope you're seeing what I see. That truly, anyone can run the road to Gainesville. You can walk it, you can jog it. The point is, you can progress on it. The content schedule for yours truly consists of dropping a podcast episode 1 week and a YouTube video the next, so you'll get a new episode from our esteemed corner of the internet every other Monday, unless, you know, I'm out of ideas for conversation or I have some technical issues like we did this week, so make sure you smash that subscribe button. If you're able, again, please contribute to our fundraiser for St. Jude, which runs until the end of the month. Come May 29th, which is the final Saturday in May, I am actually going to stream for 24 hours straight on Twitch to help raise money. And I will tell you, I have done, I want to say, 4 or 5 24-hour streams in my life, and every single one of them was harder than every marathon I've ever done. If you've ever got questions or ideas for a topic you'd like covered in a future episode, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at AnyoneCanRunPod. If you enjoy Anyone Can Run, notify another potential fitness fiend so we can all help one another live a healthy and fit lifestyle. If you want to show some extra support for your favorite fitness podcast, please go over to twitch.tv/truebros and smash that follow button. Find us on YouTube, there's a link in the description, and hit that subscribe button. Or even leave a quick rating and review in your podcast app of choice. They're all free, they all take just a second, and they really make me feel good in my corazón. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anyone Can Run podcast, and if you did, don't forget to pound that subscribe button. If you didn't enjoy it, well, you get what you pay for. And regardless, I look forward to seeing you on the road to Gainesville.